Luke chapter 2 tonight. Luke chapter 2. We're going to read part of the Christmas story this evening, and I want to make a few comments about the angel song tonight, and I trust you'll give me a hearing. And I really enjoy the Christmas season, don't you? I enjoy the Christmas carols and the songs that are being sung and the music. Matter of fact, last Christmas time, Helen found a CD with Christmas music on it, just the music. And, you know, I kept that thing in my car and played it all year long. And it's back in season now. Amen? And Helen would laugh at me when she'd get in my car and be going down the road, and I'd be listening to Christmas music, and it was June, July, you know. But I just enjoy Christmas music. I enjoy the Christmas message. And really, I think it's wonderful just to have Christmas all year long. Amen? And thinking about how good God is and how wonderful it is to have a Savior, Christ the Lord. Well, tonight we want to talk about that first announcement, that first Christmas carol, that first anthem that the angel sang. And let's begin reading verse 9 of chapter 2. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Father in heaven, speak to our hearts tonight and quieten us and help us just to think about that evening long ago when this first announcement was made and what joy and gladness thrilled the hearts of those angels and those shepherds on that Judean hillside that night. Bless our time together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It is never the will of God, nor is it the will of angels that we worship the angels. In the book of Revelation, John said that after receiving the words of the prophecy of that book, that he fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed him those things, but the angel rebuked him. Then saith he unto me, See thou doest not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them that keep the sayings of this book, worship God. You see, God alone is worthy of our supreme love and worship. As Christians, we do not worship saints, nor do we worship angels. However, we are commanded in Scripture to love our neighbor as ourselves and to love one another as Christ loved us. Have you ever thought about loving angels? That thought crossed my mind this week, and I just thought a little bit about it. And as we think about the relationship we have in this whole world with God and one another and with the saints of God and with angels, I wonder, have you ever thought about your guardian angel and whether or not you love him? Have you thought about that? In Matthew 18:10, Jesus said, Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Do you love your guardian angel. And although it would be treason against the Lord to give the slightest worship to his angels, yet it would be unkind of us if we did not give to holy angels a place in our heart's warmest love. We talk about them. We joke a little bit about them sometime, and we speak about not driving faster than your guardian angel can fly. And we expect them to protect us and to help us. But as we look at this incident in angelic history to which our text refers, I think this is enough too to cause us to respect them and to love them. When Satan dragged with him a third part of the stars of heaven, Christ did not stoop from his throne to die for them, but he left them to be reserved in chains of darkness until the last great day. But those angels who remained faithful to God did not think it beneath them to express their joy when they found the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, arrayed in the body of the seed of Abraham. How free they were of envy and pride. They were not ashamed to come and tell the news to humble shepherds. I think they were filled with great joy as they poured out in song that night tidings of great joy to the shepherds who were watching their flocks there on the Judean hillside. Mere men possessed with pride want to preach before kings and national leaders, and they think it great condescension to have to minister to a humble crowd. But not so the angels. I believe they spread their willing wings and gladly sped from the heavens above to tell shepherds on that plain by night the marvelous story of the incarnate God. God has been born in the flesh. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Don't you just love them for the way they told their story? You know, in some circles, emotion is frowned upon. But not so the angels of God. I believe there was joy and gladness written all over this event, don't you? They sang glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And I believe they sang that message with gladness in their eyes and their hearts, burning with love and their voices filled with joy. They weren't murmuring. They weren't stuttering. They weren't stammering. They were heralding forth the message that Jesus has come. Amen. The good news to man was good news to themselves as well. They were happy about it. They were rejoicing in the Lord. We do not bow before them. We don't worship them. But do you not love the holy angels of God? One of these days we're going to be seated in their midst. We're going to be standing in their midst, bowing in their midst before the throne of glory. But oh, how sweet to think that these holy and these lovely and beautiful beings are our guardians every hour. That same host that sang on the Judean hills years ago. One of those might be your guardian angel tonight. Have you thought about that? But they keep watch about us day and night. The angel of the Lord encampeth about those that fear him, the Bible says in Psalms 34:7, and delivereth them. They unceasingly minister unto us who are the heirs of salvation by day and by night. They watch over us. But having thought about this heavenly host for a moment, let's turn our attention to what was their song, their message in that hour. The angels sang something which men could understand. They were singing about Jesus, born and laid in a manger. They sang of Christ and the salvation which he came into this world to work out on their behalf. And what they said of this salvation was this. First of all, that it gave glory to God. And secondly, that it gave peace to man. And thirdly, that it was a demonstration of God's goodwill towards the human race. They said this salvation gave glory to God. Now, they had been present on many grand and wonderful and glorious occasions. For instance, they had joined, I believe, in many a solemn chorus to praise their almighty Creator. In the book of Job, we're told by God Himself, when God asked the question of Job, Job, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? When all the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, where were you? I believe in the very creation, these angels had seen many a planet fashioned by the word of the Almighty. And their songs and their shouts of joy gave glory to the Most High with the creation of each new world. No doubt they had often chanted blessing and glory and honor and majesty and power and dominion and might be unto Him who sitteth upon the throne. And with each new planet, their song received another note and rising higher and higher in the range and spectrum of adoration and worship to the Almighty God. But this time, when they saw Jesus stoop from His throne at the Father's right hand to become a baby and cradled in His mother's arms, human arms, they lifted their notes of praise higher still, and reaching to the uttermost stretch of angelic music, they gained the highest notes of the divine scale of praise and sung, glory to God in the highest. What did it mean by that? There's no higher in goodness and grace and love that can be realized or seen. They felt God could not go any higher than what He had gone. Glory to God in the highest. This is the ultimate that God can do. If angels shouted before when the world was made, now their hallelujahs were more full, more vibrant, more magnificent when they saw Jesus Christ born of a Virgin Mary to be man's Redeemer. Glory to God in the highest. God's only begotten Son laid in a manger. What is the lesson to be learned from this first syllable of the angel song? The first lesson is that salvation is God's highest glory. Amen. Everything about creation brings glory to God, doesn't it? The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament showeth His handiwork. God is glorified by every dewdrop that twinkles in the morning sun. He's glorified by every flower that blooms in the garden. He's glorified by the birds that fly overhead and the lambs that play in the meadows and the deer and the fish and the lightnings and the thunderings and the wind and the rain. All things exalt Him. But no melody in all the earth exalts the Father in heaven like Jesus in a manger, overshadowed by a cross. When they sung this song, they sung what they had never sung before. Oh, perhaps glory to God in the highest was an old song. Or they could have sung that from the foundation of the world. But now they sang, as it were, a new song, for they added a stanza. On earth, peace. They didn't sing that song in the Garden of Eden. There was no need to sing it there. Peace was already there. There was glory to God already there. But now, since man has fallen, since the day when God drove Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden and posted cherubim with a flaming sword, there has been no peace. Cain killed his brother Abel and became an outlaw himself. Things got progressively worse until God sent the flood in Noah's day. And since that time, wars have raged, men have slaughtered one another, heaps upon heaps. There have been wars within as well as wars without. No peace on earth since Adam fell. But now, when the newborn king made his appearance, this was a declaration by the angels that man could have peace with God. It's the peace of God that passes all understanding, keeping our hearts and minds at peace through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a sacred peace between the pardoned soul and God. It is an at-one-ment. That's what the word atonement really means. An at-one-ment. God, through Jesus Christ, is back in a oneness and a unity with you and me. There is an atonement between the sinner and his judge. I believe this was what was meant when the angels sang, "Peace on earth." And they ended the stanza with, "Goodwill toward men." You ask, how do you know that God has goodwill toward man? Well, he gave his only begotten Son. No greater proof of God's love can be given than when the Creator gave His only begotten Son to die for lost sinners. Of those three stanzas, this is the one that melts our hearts the most, isn't it? To know that God does not hate mankind, but instead has goodwill toward men. You know what goodwill means? Listen, you have broken God's law. You may be half afraid to even approach God's throne of grace and ask for mercy. But hear His word. "As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." Ezekiel 33, verse 11. Isaiah 1:18, "Come now, let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And if you still say, "Lord, how can I be sure that you have goodwill towards me?" I think God would simply point toward a manger and say, "Sinner, if I did not have goodwill toward you, would I have parted with my Son? If I had not goodwill towards the human race, would I have given up my Son to become one of that race that He might die to redeem them and give eternal life to as many as would receive Him?" You that doubt the Creator's love, look at that host of angels singing that night. See their blaze of glory. Hear their song. And let your doubts fly away. God does have goodwill toward man. He is willing to pardon. And I hope that every day in these days before Christmas, I hope that you will have a truly blessed Christmas by feeling the power of these words in your heart and in your life and in your spirit. Glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace. Goodwill towards man. And listen, does not this verse, the Song of Angels, stir your hearts? I know there's a lot of churches and a lot of people that frown on emotion. But listen, I don't know about you, but when I get to thinking about the Lord, my heart gets stirred. if the angels ushered in this great day with singing and praise and happiness, ought I not to preach with the same mannerism? I mean, if they sang forth the announcement that Jesus Christ is come, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill towards men, then maybe sometimes as a preacher I'll just break forth and start singing in my message. Amen. I think that'd be perfectly appropriate. And you who hear, ought there not to be singing in your life? Ought you not to sing yourselves? Ought not your hearts to be glad and your spirits rejoice as you think about a Savior? Oh, I wish we all could have heard the angels sing about Christ that night. I wish I could have been a shepherd. Under the starlit hills of Judea that night, and heard the host of angels sing about his birth. But certainly if they sing, you and I ought to sing about it as long as we live. We ought to sing about it not only while we live, but while we're dying. Every one of us ought to have a song in our heart. And I'll tell you what, if you could have a song in your heart every day, it would do something for you. It would lift your spirits. It would encourage you. It would give you hope. Now, I've told you this story before, but my mom shared with me before my dad died. The last time I went by to see him, and she said, she told me, she said, Arnold, said, your dad's not able to get up much. And said, but I can hear him singing in there in his bed. I said, what was he singing, preacher? Well, my mom said he was singing, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. She said he'd sing Amazing Grace. And what a friend we have in Jesus. Even while he was dying, the Bible says to rejoice in the Lord always. You know, one of these days we're going to be transferring our citizenship from here to heaven. And if we're going to be singing in heaven, I think we ought to really begin to sing here and just start the song here that we're going to continue on in heaven. I think a lot of the songs we sing here, like My Jesus, I Love Thee, I Know Thou Art Mine, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. So many songs we find ourselves singing. But you know, we're going to sing in heaven forever. And oh, how I long to see more of a singing Christianity. A singing Christianity. See, the angels, do they tell their story half-heartedly? Are they just sort of half ashamed of the story they're telling, or embarrassed that somebody might hear them sing it or say it? Oh no. I believe they shouted out the song, Glory to God in the highest. And I don't believe those shepherds had any difficulty at all hearing the words of their message. Oh, it's not a sin to be happy. It's not a sin to sing songs of Zion. It's not a sin to magnify the Lord with singing. Did you know the Bible says in Zephaniah that the Lord Himself sings and He rejoices over His people with singing? Did you know that? And you know, we respond by rejoicing over Him with singing. Amen? I think God has made us to relate in our spirits and through the medium of music and song. Don't be ashamed to be glad about the Savior being born. Let the saved rejoice and be happy and sing for the glory of God. The lost have nothing to sing about.
They got a lot to mourn about. They've got a lot to grieve about and to fear. But God's people have nothing to mourn about. We've got the world. I mean, we have everything in the world to sing about. We've been saved. We anticipate the joy of heaven. And so we begin to sing on earth that song that will never need to end. Let the emotion of joy and gladness fill your hearts this Christmas season. Oh, blessed Christmas that brings angels from the realms of glory to confirm our faith in God's goodwill toward men. Notice the prophetic portion of our text. We look around today and what do we see in the whole wide world? Well, I don't see God honored much, do you? I see religionists bowing before their idols and their statues and their images. I see wars and hear rumors of wars. I see God forgotten. I see men wallowing in the pit of sin. I see governments legalizing and promoting sin on every hand. Was this what the angels sang about? Is this all that made them sing glory to God in the highest? Oh no. Church, it's not going to forever be like it is right now. There's a brighter day coming. Jesus said, when you see these things coming to pass, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Hey, God's coming again. Jesus is coming again. He came one time just like he promised, and he's coming again just like he promised. Amen? They sang peace on earth, but there's still riot and bloodshed today. Mankind has not yet beat its swords into plowshares and its spears into pruning hooks. War still reigns today. Will it go on forever? Oh, no. I believe that soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. And he that shall come will come and will not tarry. One day the heavens will depart as a scroll when it's rolled together. Christ is going to come again. And his kingdom is going to reign over all the earth. The day is coming when the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and when the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the weaned child shall put his hand upon the cockatrice den and play with the asp. He's coming with trumpet sound and clouds of glory. Our Lord is going to return. Wouldn't it be great if he came this Christmas? Amen. Amen. With this great hope in mind, let's make sure that we're at peace with God and with one another this Christmas season. When the Lord Jesus has become your peace, then you, like the Savior, will want to have goodwill towards men. Show goodwill. Be kindly affectioned one to another. If you're going home, some of you may be traveling home to visit family and friends. Do you remember what Jesus told the Gadarene demoniac after he had driven those demons from him and had gone into the herd of swine and they had lost their mind and committed suicide, running down that hill and drowning in that lake? You remember what Jesus told that Gadarene demoniac when he was clothed then and in his right mind and wanting to follow Jesus? Jesus said, go home. And tell your friends what great things the Lord hath done for you and how he's had compassion upon you. That's the message you and me can tell this Christmas season. We can go home and tell our family and friends what Jesus means to us. And we can keep that song in our hearts. That vibrant song of worship and praise to the Lord. What it means to have the peace of God in your heart. Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I pray this Christmas season you'll have, that you will have the grace to give to God the highest glory in your life. Love Him with all of your heart and soul and mind and strength. And sing out the gospel story till Jesus comes. Oh, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Aren't you glad you can sing it? Jesus saves. Helen and I were at the hospital this morning, and there's a gentleman out there. His name is Jimmy, and I've known him for many, many years. And he's a colored man. But he's been out there for, I don't know, 40-something years at the Cape Fear Hospital, and he helps patients out there and transports them around. And he's got this band around his neck. He always wears this band with WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? And I remember him telling me when he was going to be ordained, and he's a preacher. But he was telling me today, he stopped me in the hallway, Helen and I, and he was trying to hum a tune. And he was singing that old spiritual. Remember that spiritual? Sweet little Jesus boy, I made you be born in a manger, sweet little Jesus boy. We didn't know who you were. Didn't know you came to save us, Lord. To take our sins away. Our eyes were blind, we couldn't see, Lord. We didn't know who you were. I joined in with him as he's trying to remember the words, and He said, preacher, I had the music to that. And he said, somebody took my music. He said, I don't remember exactly how it goes. And I said, well, Jimmy, I said, I think I've got that song at home. And I said, if you'll give me just a few minutes, I'll run home. And if I've got it, I'll bring it to you. He said, I want to sing it in church. And I said, well, Jimmy, I've got it, I'll bring it. So I went home and looked in some books I had there, and sure enough, I found it, and I brought it back, and he was just so tickled. I'm glad that red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in Jesus' sight. And so are you. And so are we to each other. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another. And one of these days when we get to heaven, there's going to be a great choir singing. I hope to be a part of that, and I hope every one of you will be a part of that. Choir from every kindred and people and tongue and nation in the world. God's going to have some saved people out of all of them in heaven. And they're going to come. And they're going to get to heaven. And they're going to be singing the highest praises of God. Because one day, the angels were able to sing to some shepherds on the hillside watching their flock. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward man. Father, thank you tonight for these few moments. And may this Christmas season, may your Holy Spirit Give us a song in our hearts. And may we keep on singing. And may we keep on, Lord, giving you the praise and the glory that's due your name. And telling our family and our friends what great things you've done for us. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen.